My other example is even more profound and even more significant, both for Jews and for Christians. Another way in which the Renaissance interacted with Jewish culture in this very interesting period on the part of a group of Jewish intellectuals surrounds a Christian figure of great significance. Those of you who have studied the Renaissance know who Pico della Mirandola is, and also know who Marsilio Ficino. This is the great Florentine circle of humanists and Neoplatonic philosophers. These are people that are exemplary of the new culture of the Renaissance. You might even recall Pico's famous work called The Dignity of Man, in which he celebrates in an oration the significance of man in the universe, not God, but man. In other words, celebrating this moment, which for a historian of the 19th century like Jacob Burckhardt signaled the break from religiosity into a secular style. Historians of our own day, of course, have discounted that and think of the Renaissance in more religious terms. But nevertheless, the dignity on the oration on the dignity of man is indeed a pronouncement, a signal of a new cultural formation emerging within the Renaissance. What does this have to do with Jews? Well, Pico surrounded himself with Jews. Some of them he converted to Christianity, some of them remained Jews. But he believed that in order to really create a Renaissance, to recover the Latin and the Greek culture, we must also recover the third pinnacle of Western civilization, that is Hebraic culture. And therefore, Pico, unlike some of the other humanists, but also like some other humanists who followed in his path, he began to study Hebrew, and he surrounded himself with Hebrew teachers. And he believed in an idea which became very current within the period of the 15th and the 16th century. And that is the idea of ancient theology. That is, that Christianity is a very special revelation of the truths of Christ. But indeed, one can find those truths in other cultural experiences, embedded in other cultural experiences, Jewish and also pagan. And therefore, the revival of the Greek and the Latin classics, reading them, reading Hebraic text, and reading also, as you will hear, Kabbalistic text, text of a mystical significance that we described earlier in this course, by putting them all together, ultimately we can find a single core of universal truth. The idea of ancient theology for Pico and Ficino and for all of the great figures living in the end of the 15th century was to create a universal core, a fabric of cultures that were all linked together. And by linking them together around, of course, a banner of Christianity, these were ultimately Christian truths in the end, but nevertheless, they showed the universality of the specific Christian religion. It showed to what degree every culture imbibed, embraced the notions that are found within Christianity. And therefore, it was incumbent upon the Neoplatonic philosopher to study, of course, Plato and the Greeks and ancient culture, but also to study the Hebraic culture, to learn Hebrew and to learn the Bible. What Pico does is to embrace one particular rabbi, to bring him to Florence, where he converts to Christianity. His name is Flavius Mitridates, and not a very Jewish name by any means. And what Flavius does is really quite extraordinary. As Ficino had contracted with a group of Greek scholars to translate the entire Greek corpus into Latin, Pico contracts with Mitridates to translate a Jewish library in Hebrew and Aramaic into Latin so that Pico could read it. Books of Jewish exegesis on the Bible, books of morality, and particularly books of the Kabbalah. In other words, Pico was fascinated. He thought the Kabbalah was not medieval, it was ancient. He thought that the Kabbalah was of specific significance because it allowed us to understand the mysteries of the Jews. But the Kabbalah was also a kind of hermeneutic. That is, the Kabbalist read text in a certain way. And by mastering the methods of their reading texts, we could not only apply this to reading their own texts, but we could take these methods and apply them to reading other kinds of texts. And therefore, and also the Kabbalah had one other significant function. In the context of the Renaissance, there was a particular new interest in magic. In part, this was spurred by these ancient pagan texts that had been discovered and were now translated into Latin. But magicians hung out at the courts of the Renaissance. Every Renaissance prince had his prognosticator or his magician, and therefore a kind of high magic emerged within the culture of the Renaissance.